You are listening to the Women in Wellness Career Summit, a program to help you create gorgeous growth for your blissful business in health and wellness. I'm Dr. Gabby, holistic health expert and founder of the Women in Wellness Career Training, a one-of-a-kind course and community designed to empower and inform you about how to build a purposeful and profitable holistic business. I'm so excited to share today's interview with you. It's full of so much information and insight for anyone who's working really hard to make a positive impact in the world. I brought someone on the program who I just know you're going to love. For today's interview, I've invited Jennifer Grace. Jennifer is an acclaimed Hay House author, and she also writes for Mindbody Green and the Huffington Post. Jennifer spent 8 years on Wall Street before she became an actress, filmmaker, and screenwriter. For the last 7 years, Jennifer has been teaching the Creative Insight Journey, a training based on the famed Stanford course, Creativity in Business. Jennifer is the resident coach at the Standard Hotel in Miami, and last year she was voted Best Life Coach by Miami New Times. Welcome, Jennifer. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Gabby.
So, one of my favorite things about you, which I didn't even mention in the intro, is the web show on YouTube that you have created.
And yeah,
I'm in hysterics every time I watch it because I think it's a really fun, fresh approach to coaching. And I'm wondering, how did you come up with this?
So I, in my former life, I did many things. One of them was on Wall Street. Another incarnation of me was that I was a comedic actress. And I did lots of theater and commercials and films, and had to kind of put all of that on the shelf when I became a coach, because I know what happens when you spread yourself too thin in your career, nothing gets accomplished. So I put it up on the shelf, and 8 years into my coaching career, I just was having this calling of creativity and wanting to bring my comedy back out. And I just came up with this fun idea of blending transformation with comedy. And it's kind of like Oprah meets Saturday Night Live. So I interview people, you know, experts in the wellness field. And then we bust out into a sketch comedy about, you know, the first time I meditated or the first time I made a vision board, and just the parody and not taking it all so seriously, you know, because sometimes when we get into personal development, we take it so seriously. So I wanted to make light of it and have fun.
It is so hilarious. I mean, and it's so out there too, which is my humor, totally.
Good.
I also attended one of your sessions at the Standard Hotel, and you told a really moving story about how you decided to become a Hay House author, and then you made it happen. And I loved your description about the combination of will and grace. I'm wondering if you could maybe share some of that with the listeners.
Yeah. So I think, you know, all dreams have to begin with a declaration, you know, making a declaration of what it is that you want to powerfully step into. And so I made this declaration on 1/11/11. I was on the top of a mountaintop in Sedona, Arizona, running a retreat. And I just said to 18 women, I feel ecstatic that I am now a Hay House published author, without having written one single word of the book that was living inside my head. And so I was like, oh God, you know, now I got to write this. But you can't do things all alone. And I have two confidants that I bring into every situation I'm in when I really want to step into a big goal. And they are Will and Grace, right? You remember that 1990s TV show.
Yeah.
And we want to think about Will as kind of the tenacity, the perseverance, you know, the dedication to get the dream that's living inside your head and make it a reality. And then grace is the energy of, you know, when all the will is done, just kind of surrendering and allowing, you know, things to kind of come together in their own divine timing. And it's kind of like, Gabby, when you find yourself at the right place at the right time, and it seems like a coincidence, but it's really not. You know, it's from you putting in the will and the discipline and the diligence to make that a reality. So, you know, Will had me getting up at 5:30 a.m., writing 500 words a day. And at the end of those 4 months, I had a 50,000 word manuscript. Isn't that incredible?
It's amazing.
Right?
Yeah.
I thought about that darn book for 3 years. You know, how many times have we thought and talked and thought and talked about an idea and we don't actualize it. And when you do some little tiny steps every day, it is extremely like just awe-inspiring what you can get done just a few moments a day. So it's like 1 hour. I just wrote 1 hour a day. Mm-hmm. And in 4 months out of 50,000 word manuscript. So that was, you know, the work of Will and I. And I do want to tell your listeners a little trick that I use that was really powerful. Instead of having the alarm go off at 5:30 a.m., which I would promptly hit snooze, I know that there's a self-sabotager that lives inside all of us, right? That doesn't want to get up to go to the gym or work on our entrepreneurial project to get us out of the 9 to 5. And so I knew that I had to outwit this self-sabotager. So what I did was I programmed my phone to, instead of a alarm, to have an event. So it was a sentence. So when I woke up every morning, I would look at my phone and it would say this, Gabby. It would say, Jen, do you want it or not? And I had to stop and answer that question. And the answer every morning was yes. I want to become a published author. I want to share my message with the world. And that question just catapulted me out of bed at 5:30 a.m., stumbling to get a shot of espresso and writing an hour a day, you know? So that was Will and I. And, you know, grace is like, oh my gosh, it's magical. I finished this manuscript and I just kind of hear this voice in my head, this whisper, and it says, call your ex-husband. And I'm like, what? Call your ex-husband. I'm like, huh? But I know from doing all the personal development, you know, work that I do, that you have to listen to that quiet voice. So I follow my intuition. I call my ex-husband, and honestly, we're good friends. And I just very excitedly tell him, oh, you know, I just finished my 50,000 word manuscript, and just kind of offhandedly, I say to him, now all I need to do is get it in the hands of Wayne Dyer. So if, you know, I'm sure your listeners know who Wayne Dyer is. If they don't, you know, he was the number one author on Hay House Publishing, and Hay House Publishing is the number one self-help publishing company in America, right? So I'm like going so big here, right? It's like talking to Oprah. So he turns around and he says to me, Wayne Dyer, do you know that Amanda's his new wife, grew up next door to Wayne Dyer and is best friends with his daughter? I'm like, no, Joe, you never told me that. Hello. You know? But he goes, this is the crazy part. He goes, next week, Wayne is in town. We're going to a charity event that he and Serena are throwing together. Come with us. I'll introduce you to him. So that is grace. You know, all the will is done, and it's not like 1,000 phone calls. It's like one random call and boom, you're standing in front of, you know, for me, he was an icon. He's my mentor. I've read every single one of his books, The Power of Intention. I mean, just so many. He's got like 10 books out. He's amazing. So then I'm freaking standing in front of him. And I just blurted out, is there any way that you would read my manuscript and give me a feedback? And he says yes, and gives me his home address in Maui. So long story short, cut to, I get to Hay House. I do one of their contests. I lose the first one. I win the second one. And within 11 months, almost to the day that I made a declaration that I feel ecstatic that I am now a Hay House published author without having written one single word of the book that was living inside my head, the president of Hay House calls me and he says, Jennifer, we're so blown away by how you lost the contest in New York and now you came back with just a vengeance for this, sorry, in San Diego to New York. We want to give you both prizes because it was a contest. First prize is your own book deal with Hay House. Second prize, your own radio show. Welcome to the Hay House family. And here's the kicker. My show was sandwiched between Abraham Hicks and Wayne Dyer's every Tuesday at 11 a.m. for 3 years. So it just, that's Will and Grace.
So amazing. I mean, I like this story. I can listen to you tell that story so many times.
It's a good one.
Yeah, even when I hear it again now, I just get chills and I feel so excited because it resonates with me on so many levels. I have so many students that have dreams, and then the dreams stay very etheric. They, you know, it's there's a lot of excuses or fear or obstacles, yeah. right? Or I also have,
of course.
You know, students that work so hard, they're driving themselves into the ground, and there isn't an openness for that synchronicity and
yes.
things to come in. So the balance that you describe, I think, is really vital.
Yeah. And just to kind of go off what you're saying is, you know, you're in too much will when you're driving and striving and you're pushing and you're lying in bed at night, you know, and you're just throbbing, you're exhausted. That's too much will. And too much grace is, you know, maybe you watched that movie, The Secret, and made a vision board and you cut out all the pictures of your dream life and you slapped it up on your, you know, living room wall. And all you're doing is sitting on the couch eating bonbons, staring at it, you know, thinking your dream life is going to pop into the living room. That's too much grace. So you need both will and grace. And it's kind of like will is making it happen and then grace is letting it happen. And having the dance between the two. That's the key to life. It yeah. really is.
Yeah, amazing, amazing.
Yeah.
So you share that you had a limbo period, kind of lost for a few years between the acting mm-hmm. and the life coaching before you really yeah. found your purpose. So can you tell me a little bit about that and how you
sure.
landed on what you were meant to be doing?
Absolutely. So out of my marriage, I left my marriage and my work as an actor and a filmmaker simultaneously, because really what was happening for me, and this was like Wall Street was way before that, but when I left my marriage, I had been acting, but I only was really doing commercials and it wasn't fulfilling. You know, I wasn't in LA or New York getting juicy, great parts. You know, they really just booked actors here as small bits. And so it just like, I wasn't fulfilled doing the acting thing in South Florida. And in my marriage, I wasn't fulfilled either. And so leaving them both, you know, I was very lost. You know, all my identities were taken away from me. I didn't know who I was, what I wanted. And I went on this 2-year period of just listening to everybody else. Somebody said, oh, you know, you would be so great at managing other people. You're such a great, you know, enroller and you're just so enthusiastic. And I have this photographer from LA, you should represent her. Oh, okay, I'll do that. And then another friend, you know, she's in the world of non-for-profit and she's doing this project with cervical cancer. And she's like, you would be so great. Oh, okay, I'll do that. You know, and so everybody's telling me what I would be good at. And I'm not listening to my intuitive voice at all because I'm so lost. And I'm just I started 6 different companies, projects, websites, logos, and ultimately 6 failures. Because, you know, Gabby, as you know, we all have this internal GPS in our soul. And I love to refer to it as yak. You always know, right? So we have all the answers. And what we tend to do as humans is take the poll. And we ask our mother, what do you think I should do? And our partner, what do you think I should do? And our best friend, what do you think I should do? And we get 20 different answers. And then we don't know who to listen to. And so I needed to listen to my own internal voice, give me the wisdom of what my purpose was and what I, you know, what my legacy and my impact to make was. So after 2 years of literally going through my entire divorce settlement, I'm at like, you know, $50 in the checking account, probably. I call my mother through hysterical tears. And I'm just like, I don't know who I am. I don't know what I want. And I don't know what to do with my life. And she connected me with a colleague of hers, Julie Romaine, who had found this course out at Stanford University. It's a master's degree course in transformation. And Julia had gone out to Stanford because this course was there touted being the most life-transforming course ever to be taught at Stanford. So she got in touch with Dr. Michael Ray, who created the course, and she said, why are you hiding it here? You know, let's take this out of Stanford and put it into the world. This is so powerful. I mean, Steve Jobs, Bill Gates, huge advocates of the course. So he says yes. And she was a coach. He trained and developed her. And right around that time, 9/11 had just happened. And Julia, along with a foundation called Tuesday's Children, got a grant for over $500,000 to give this to the widows of 9/11. And many of them had been not in the workforce for some time. They were homemakers. They go through this course and they just pop. They become artists and entrepreneurs and published authors. And they just use this coaching course to catapult them into the next incarnation of their lives. So when I come to her at my own ground zero, she's like, just let's do this journey. So it was an 8-week transformational, you know, journey with lots of practical tools and techniques to help you get out of your own way and really tap into your voice of wisdom, your intuition, and find your purpose, find your passion, get your clarity. So I took it, and I think week 5, I just popped and I said, this is it. I want to take this to South Florida. I want to train others. And she said, absolutely. So her and Dr. Michael Ray trained me. And then I've been doing this down here for 8 years. And 2 years ago, Julia and Dr. Michael Ray decided to retire. So they promoted me to be the new train the trainer.
Yay!
So now I have 50 coaches under me. Yeah, we're translating to 5 different languages. It's launching in 25 cities, 6 countries. I mean, it's so amazing. And now we're designing it for kids and teens. And so I've just never looked back, you know. And there were a lot of things, Gabby, that I had to put on the shelf. A lot of creative ways of being that I loved. I loved working with nonprofits. You know, I loved the acting. I loved the writing. But I wasn't going to find success until I really channeled my energy all into my coaching career. And then along the way, you know, 3-4 years in, I take down the writer's hat and I say, you know what, I'm going to write a book. And I do. And then I take down the nonprofit hat and I say, you know what, I want to start a retreat company that we travel around the world, making a difference in the lives of others and raising money for people in that region. And then finally, recently, I've taken down the actor comedian hat and found a way under the coaching umbrella. It's all under the coaching umbrella to express myself in that creative way. You know, now the Jennifer Gray Show, the one that's on YouTube that we were talking about earlier, having the comedy and the coaching come together as one, but it all makes sense. And that was my mistake before. I was spread too thin in 6 different projects that didn't have a thread between any of them. So now everything is under, you know, me as a coach.
Right. Yeah. That's what's really meaningful for me about the story. It's like when you know it, you know it. You like found your home. You founded the work you wanted to do. And then you let that be the anchor and let yourself have creative expression in a lot of different ways, but all coming from this thread of transformation and empowerment. Yeah. And that, I think that that's really meaningful because a lot of times, in my industry, which is the wellness industry, people have a lot of skills. They have the the yoga, the meditation, they might even have business skills like marketing or things like that. And there is a struggle to figure out, how do I bring this all together? You know, how do I do all the things that I love? And that's one of the things that I admire about you is that you have this integration that I think is feels very focused, you know?
Yep. And sure. So, and that took me a minute, but it finally came to fruition.
That's what I wanted to ask you. So were there any significant challenges in the last 7 years as you were, you know, teaching this course and honing your coaching skills? Like, were there any major challenges during that time?
Gosh, you know, it honestly feels like every year has gotten better than the last.
Nice.
And I, you know, it really doesn't feel like that. Mm-hmm. It just feels like, you know, it was like I was plodding along, doing my little local classes, then boom, get picked up by Hay House, do that, have a radio show, then boom, you know, get promoted as the trainer, and now have all these, you know, incredible coaches, and now flying all over the world, training them and launching their businesses, and now the TV show. So it just keeps expanding.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to say I've had some challenges. I mean, there's little things, but nothing like that just knocked me off my horse where I was like, you know, couldn't even breathe. Nothing like that. Knock on wood.
And as you're advising the other trainers to launch their businesses, like are there 2 or 3 significant pieces of advice that you're giving them about how to, you know, spread the word about what they're doing to get, you know, people to sign up? Like, is there any kind of tips or advice that you're giving?
Yeah. Oh my gosh, tons of it, but I can give you some takeaways. I mean, the first thing that is so universal that people have to deal with is fear. Okay. Because the only thing that's in the way of them and the life of their dreams is them and their fear. And that's kind of the good news, you know, because when we start making excuses, well, it's my husband's fault, or it's this, you know, my old childhood story, and I can't do this because of my job. You know, we love to play the excuse game. But when we just own that the only thing in the way of us and our success is us, that's good news, because we can't change the partner or the job or the childhood story. The only thing we can change is our own inner landscape, right? So owning that you're the only thing in your own way, and really what that comes down to usually is fear, right? And a lot of people are waiting for the fear to subside before they step out really powerfully in their full expression. And here's a newsflash, you know, the fear may never go away. You know, successful people are just as afraid as everybody else. They just don't let their fear paralyze them. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, you can do two things with your fear. You let it propel you, or you let it paralyze you. And I think when I share this with my students, it gives them permission to just be with the fear. You know, we look at fear like a toddler, you know, it's kicking and screaming, and you're like, I feel you, I hear you, but you're not going to win. Grab my hand. We're getting in the car and we're doing what we need to do. You can kick and scream all the way, but I'm going after my dream. Mm-hmm. With or without you. So it's about managing that fear and really cultivating fearlessness and cultivating, you know, and fearlessness is not the absence of fear. It's the presence of bravery. You know, how do you cultivate courage in the face of fear? And so much of the work that I do is helping people work with fear, not necessarily overcome it, but to really work with it so that it doesn't paralyze you, so that you can keep moving forward fearlessly. So that's a big, you know, kind of like, you know, underneath thing. And then there's all the tips of the technical tips of how to launch your business, which I would love to say we could all make a flyer and throw it out there and a million people are going to attend your workshop and just sell out. But that's not how it works. What works is human contact. Whether it's a live webinar, whether it's a live free introduction, whether it's something that you are sharing yourself authentically, vulnerably, putting yourself out there, getting, you know, hitting the streets, you know, going into yoga studios and wellness centers and, you know, speaking at events and doing anything and everything you can to be face to face with people, or even online on webinars, but you're there live sharing your tools, your processes, your personality, yourself. People want that. A flyer, the email game is like over. How many emails do we get? It's like nauseating, you know, like nobody's even looking. So social media is great, but it's just that human contact. So get yourself out there over and over and over again. And gosh, there's so many tips.
I know, but there's good ones. I mean, I was also really surprised when I became a professor. I thought, like, my job is to just, you know, translate, you know, academic stuff into something they can understand, to, you know, give them, you know, information, to educate. And really, the more I engage, the more I hear, you know, all the self-doubt and all of the kind of internal things that need to be, I think, managed, like you said, is a good word, need to be managed, so that mm-hmm. we can continue to be productive. And
exactly.
The other thing I totally agree with, a lot of, one of the ways that I see that this fear manifests is people want to stay hiding in their house behind their computer and just,
yeah,
posting on Facebook and hoping people buy what they're selling.
Yeah.
And so a part of this fearlessness, this bravery, this courage is, like you said, putting yourself out there in the flesh in front of people.
Yep. Yeah.
So they can feel you and they can
exactly
connect.
Yeah. And you can't get into the story of, oh, but there's, you know, how many life coaches are there out there? And I could have a real easy story that says, you know, this market is oversaturated. There's so much competition. There's so much out there. But it's about resonance. you know, because there's millions and millions and millions of people who need to be transformed, right? So I don't need millions and millions of people. And it's about, you know, we could have 10 coaches on a stage all saying the exact same thing. And you're going to identify with me. Somebody else is going to identify with them. And it's just about that resonance. And they can't feel your resonance through, you know, Facebook. Mm-hmm. It's through a flyer. They have mm-hmm. to feel your personality. I mean, when you and I met, we connected. Mm-hmm. It was like, boom, you know? So that's really important. And I think the other important thing is if you're going to get yourself out there, a lot of that, you know, of course, can I say itty bitty shitty committee comes up, the self-doubt, you're not good enough, you're not smart enough, your idea is not original, you know, and we have to, that's a voice to be reckoned with. And there's lots of tools to reprogram that negative voice that I share with my students constantly. But one of them that I really encourage my trainers to do is to do Toastmasters, you know, to get out there and have a playground where you can fall on your face in front of your peers and everybody's just trying to make their way. But you practice giving speeches and delivering information, and that helps your confidence because you're actually doing something about it, you know. It's not just like in theory. And I love improv acting classes. That really helps you be quick on your feet when you're speaking and having engagements. So all of that, you know, in the flesh, getting out there, you also have to hone those skills, you know. And I'm lucky because I've been acting for 20 years. That's just a huge talent of mine. But my trainers aren't actors, you know. They have to refine that skill so that they can feel confident in front of a room full of people.
Yeah. And I know that you have some webinars coming up. So can you tell us a little bit about your webinars?
Sure. I have in the month of February, of course, it's all about love, getting on the love train. So I've got a myriad of, I think it's every Wednesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. There's a different webinar about love. We've got things about self-love, manifesting new love, creating a sacred partnership with a current partner, or sizing up your sex life, which is always a fun one. And then I also have a 4-week complimentary webinar coming up based off my book, Directing Your Destiny. And that's a really powerful 4-week webinar where people can get super crystal clear on what their goals are for 2016, and then use a technique that I've come up with called AFM, Authentic Frequency Method, really understanding quantum physics, how to work with this energy field. You know, a lot of us saw the movie The Secret, we made the vision board and nothing happened. So this is the why, you know, how do you really work with this energy field that surrounds us all, this law of attraction? And it's really the science that's underneath this and this AFM technique. So all of that, Gabby, can be found at jennifergrace.com/free stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. So they can get all that juicy stuff there for free.
I want to encourage everyone to go to jennifergrace.com/free stuff and to connect with you and to attend the webinars and do the creative insight journey, because I really love everything that you're doing, and I really want people to follow you and connect with you.
Awesome. And most importantly, my Jennifer Grace show on YouTube. That's what I'm most excited about.
Yes. And look for those new episodes that are coming out. And how often are they released?
Good ones.
Is it every other week?
They are every other Tuesday at 11 a.m. We launch them, and there's some really funny ones in February coming up all around love and your brain on love and how crazy we all go when we fall in and out of love. So, yeah.
Yay. Well, thank you so, so much for being here and for speaking with us.
Thank you.
Really grateful. You've been listening to the Women in Wellness Career Summit, a program to help you create gorgeous growth for your blissful business in health and wellness. A special thanks to our sponsor, the International Association of Wellness Professionals, which provides world-class education from the industry's most renowned experts in holistic health, natural medicine, wellness coaching, and entrepreneurship. If you liked this interview and you want to learn more about how to build a purposeful and profitable holistic business, you can sign up for Women in Wellness Career Training, a one-of-a-kind course and community designed to empower and inform you about how to use your health and wellness education as a springboard to success.
Thanks for listening. I hope you indulge in each and every one of the speaker interviews because they have so much information and insight for anyone who is working really hard to make a positive impact in the world. If you've been hustling to grow and learning as you go, but you're overwhelmed by all the pieces of the puzzle and how to make it happen, we are here to support you. I would just love to move you to a place of wild success in your work and life. You can find me online at GabriellePolici.com, Gabrielle TV on Twitter, and Dr. Gabby Polici on Instagram. Bye for now.